May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Today is the festival of St. Michael and all angels. I wonder if you believe in angels. They are certainly part of the Christian tradition. They feature in many buildings of old churches, sculptures, and stained glass windows. We read about them in the Bible, and we sing about them in some of our hymns, as we are doing today. But many of us perhaps give very little thought to angels. Yet, outside the church, there is a real fascination with angels. We see them depicted in art and film. If we go to the spirituality section of a local bookstore, we will no doubt find many stories and self-help books focused on angels. I've come across titles like How to Hear Your Angels and An Angel Set Me Free. A survey in Britain a few years ago found that 31% of people believed in angels and 29% believed a guardian angel watched over them. The idea of angels can bring comfort and hope. A few years ago, in the little town in the north of England where we lived in Keswick, there was a very tragic school bus crash and two teenage pupils lost their lives and many others were very badly injured. In the days following the crash, large numbers of messages were left at a memorial, and I was struck by the number of messages which spoke of the two young people who had died now having become angels. So what about angels in the Bible? There are many stories, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, which speak of angels. But these angels are not like the blonde-haired, winged creatures of popular imagination, nor the chubby cherubs of Raphael and other artists. There are two main types of angels in the Bible. There are the heavenly beings who worship God day and night in heaven. And then there are the messengers of God who bring divine communication to earth. Indeed, our English word angel comes from the Greek word angelos, which means messenger. Some angels are given names, like Archangel Gabriel, who appears to Mary, and Archangel Michael, who is in the book of Daniel and called the protector of your people, a kind of guardian angel for Israel. But many angels are simply called an angel of the Lord. The intriguing thing about angels is that they belong in heaven, but they can be seen on earth. And sometimes they are mistaken for ordinary human beings, like the three visitors that Abraham welcomed in his home in Genesis chapter 18, who bring the news that Sarah is going to have a baby. The author of the letter to the Hebrews in the New Testament, no doubt, with this passage in mind, says, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for in doing that some have entertained angels without knowing it." Angels are a link between heaven and earth, and they perhaps remind us that there is more to this life than simple physical realities. At the end of our gospel reading this morning, Jesus tells Nathanael he will see a vision of angels. The focus of the reading is not, of course, on the angels, but on Jesus himself. It tells of the striking encounter between Jesus and Nathanael. Nathanael is told by his excited and enthusiastic friend Philip that Jesus from Nazareth might be the Messiah. And the sceptical Nathanael murmurs, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Nevertheless, he responds to Philip's invitation to come and see. And Jesus seems to have a strange inner knowledge of Nathanael. He knows what manner of man he is and describes him as a true Israelite in whom there is no deceit. When Nathanael asks him, "Where did you get to know me?" he says, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." I saw you. I know you. This knowledge of him stirs the sceptical Nathanael to a passionate faith. You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And Jesus' response is that Nathanael will see greater things than these. "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." What's all this about? There is an echo here, of course, from our Old Testament reading, from Genesis 28, where Jacob has a dream of a ladder between heaven and earth, where angels are going up and down upon it. For Jacob, it marks a very special place where heaven seems to break into earth. Jesus' words to Nathanael also speak of heaven and earth being joined together. But the importance of this vision is the fact that the angels ascend and descend not upon a ladder, but upon the Son of Man. The Son of Man himself takes the place of the ladder, the link between heaven and earth. The presence of angels points to a connection between heaven and earth, but that connection is focused supremely on Jesus. The heavens are opened, just as they are at his baptism, and the heavenly beings, the angels, move freely between heaven and earth, but Jesus is the ladder, the place where heaven and earth meet. Angels may be intriguing and fascinating, but the New Testament writers, as we heard in our reading earlier from Hebrews, make it clear they do not have the significance that Jesus has as the Son of God. The author of Hebrews emphasizes that Jesus the Son, though he is flesh and blood like us, is way superior to the angels. Angels are servants, spirits in the divine service, for the sake of human beings, for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation. Jesus is one of us, not one of the angels. He shares our flesh and blood. God's supreme revelation is as a human being, not as an angel. So God is not simply detached in his heavenly spiritual realm with his angels. He does not only send angels as messengers. Rather, he comes among us himself as the Son. He takes on our flesh and in embodied form enters into the physical creation. William Temple, an Anglican theologian and Archbishop of Canterbury in the 1940s, once said that Christianity is the most materialistic of all religions. Now, of course, he didn't mean materialistic in terms of shopping, getting and spending, clutching after more and more things. That's exactly the attitude which has led to the exploitation and devastation of the created world and the serious environmental crisis we now face today. But when William Temple spoke of the materialistic nature of the Christian faith, he was emphasizing that the material world matters. It matters not only because God created it, he saw it was good and he delighted in it, but also because God affirmed the fundamental goodness of the creation by entering into it in the incarnation. The eternal word became flesh in Jesus and came to live among us. Material things matter. Creation matters to God, so it ought to matter to us too. As we come to the end of creation season today, we are reminded again of the importance of the material world. Our concern as Christians is not just with the spiritual, but also with the physical world. If God loved the world so much that he came into it as a human being of flesh and blood, sharing our physical existence, and if one day he will make a new heavens and a new earth, then we too should live with a commitment to care for this created world. As human beings, we are not angels. We are not purely spiritual beings. Neither are we beasts, purely physical beings. We are created part of this physical, material world, and we are called to care for it and look after it. At the same time, we know there is more to life than the purely material. We are aware as human beings of the spiritual realm. So we are called to live fully committed to the created physical world with hearts and spirits that are fully committed to God. Our spiritual awareness of God's grace in Christ, the spiritual nourishment of prayer, meditation on scripture and communion should impact the way we live our bodily lives, the way we treat other people, and the way we care for creation. And we know that caring for creation demands urgent action. Some of us were on the climate change march yesterday here in Bern. And we, many of us, will have also heard Greta Thunberg's impassioned speech at the climate summit in New York this last week. We have been reminded again and again how urgent it is that we act now to avert the tragic consequences of climate change and the resulting environmental crisis and human crisis. We must all play our part. So today, on this festival of St. Michael and All Angels, we give thanks for the reminder of spiritual realities, that the physical world is not all there is, but let us also be reminded afresh of how significant the created physical world is. God made it, and God loves it, and God entered into his world in Jesus. We may believe in angels, we may be rather sceptical about them, but their presence in the Bible reminds us that heaven and earth are not two completely separate spheres, but connected with each other. And these two realities meet in Jesus himself, who was both divine and human. Perhaps we may have had moments when we have had a glimpse of heaven, a sense of the beyond here in our midst. Heaven in ordinary, as the poet George Herbert puts it, when we felt the veil between heaven and earth is very thin. We are called to live alert to the spiritual reality of God's life and love. Yet, we are not to be so spiritually minded as to be of no earthly good, but fully involved in the creation we are part of and the world we live in, as Jesus was. In the midst of the urgency and seriousness of the environmental crisis, we are to be people of hope. One day, heaven and earth will finally be brought together in Jesus. All creation will be renewed, and we will be not angels, but we will be like him. Amen.